see this.
KXNO's Thirsty Thursday continues with tonight's Cyclone Fanatic radio show, which is powered by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet. Now let's head north to Whiskey River in Ankeny, where Chris Williams, Brent Bloom, and Jared Stansberry are standing by.
Hello, it's Thursday night, 6 o'clock. You know what that means. Time for Cyclone Fanatic Radio here on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO. We are not at Whiskey River in Ankeny tonight. There's a few things going on around the country, mainly the NCAA tournament. It's weird not being there this year, but it's okay. I'm curled up here with a cup of coffee. I'm going to be talking Cyclones for the next hour with my friend Rob Gray. Hello, Rob.
Hello there. That's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. Thanks to our title sponsor here of the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. Throughout the winter months, that is your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet. Rob, so here's what we're going to do for about the next hour or so.
Okay.
We're going to go through sport by sport, mainly the ones that people, I don't want to say care about because that'll offend somebody, the big sports.
Sure.
The revenue sports at Iowa State, okay?
Absolutely.
We're going to run through best and worst case scenarios for the 2018-19 season. Now, I want to preface this by saying I've told numerous people, I've said it on these airways here on 1460 KXNO multiple times, I think next year could be one of the great years in the history of Iowa State athletics. When you combine everything together, I think the year after that could be really epic, but I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because people transfer, people get hurt, people graduate early. You just don't really know. I think next year could be epic. Do you agree with me?
I absolutely agree, in part because this year almost was epic. You know, the OU win put them on the map, but you take reverse some of the stuff that happened earlier. You know, they're in even better shape for that game.
Mm-hmm.
K-State debacle. I mean,
they got screwed.
I mean, that's a 9-4 football team at worst that we saw last season. That was in.
They really just melted down at the end of Iowa. You hope they're in different type of shape.
Yeah, in every game. I mean, we've never seen that. Not even the great 2000 season. They got blown out a couple times.
And they weren't like, if I remember correctly, and I was pretty young then, but you never thought like, oh, man, Iowa State could beat Oklahoma.
Yeah, there a couple of those years where they were really good under McCartney, right? They'd be on a roll.
And then
it would be Oklahoma, and it would just be like
they'd get killed.
Sawed in half.
Yeah. This felt more real. It felt more sustainable because of the defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And there were some great defenses under McCartney as well. But this defense was so, fast, played so fast, like they all want to talk about. Sound, generally speaking. There were a couple of games where, some of the mistakes were pretty glaring. But they'd recover. And they incorporated the best of the Burnham defense, which is the bend but don't break aspect, with also a big play capability. You're turning the other team over. When you can put those two things together, I mean, how many of the last years, God bless Wally and Shane and everyone on that staff, but they couldn't get a takeaway to save, anything. Mm-hmm. Even the first year under Haycock, it was hard to get that going. They got that going this year, the turnover margin, and that was huge. And that's feeds more of that playing fast, playing free, and showcasing the athleticism, mixing, matching, inserting the right moving part when things are moving mile a minute. And it was just, it was a joy to watch, as they shut down teams. They had to win a grinder of a game against Baylor. Who saw that coming? That you got to grind out a win over
the Baylor game was one of the most fun game experiences I've ever had with Iowa State. I always remember that because we were in Myrtle Beach calling the basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And Bloom and I, decided on a whim one night. Because all these people kept coming up to us, and they're like, hey, we're going to do a game watch. And I'm like, I don't know anybody here.
Yeah.
Who the hell am I supposed to call? So I called one random bar, and I'm like, hey, I think I can get, 50 people to come. And, freaking 300 people showed up.
Wow.
And we just took the place over.
I bet they were pleased.
Actually, they were kind of rude about it.
Really?
Because they didn't have it staffed well enough.
Oh,
and then there was, a wedding
reception
coming in, 2 hours later.
Oh, okay.
And you have all these drunk Clone fans, and the game's still going on, and our people are like, oh, hell no, we're not leaving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it was fun, man.
The perils of game watches. You should write a book about game watches.
God. I've had so many, like, up and down game watch experience. Because you always, like, inevitably somebody gets mad. Because there's too many people, like, it's a hoot. But anyways, I had so much fun at that game watch, though, because I told Brent, I was like, we've done our job. So there's this one guy who I always have communicated with on Twitter, and, like, he's a big Cyclone fan, he's from Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
And I hung out with him the whole time, and it's just so much fun to, like, get to know these people who you're conversing with online, and, like, we had a blast. And when they got that last turnover, like, the whole place just blew up.
Absolutely.
And we're at that point, we were almost antagonizing this place.
Yeah.
Where we were at. That's bad.
Yeah, that's not great. That
was a fun game.
I mean, it was a fun game, but so frustrating in the sense that you expect that offense to be able to roll against that defense, and it didn't. The defense, in turn, did what it had to do to slow a not as nearly as potent as has been in several years past Baylor offense, just still slowed it down, you know, to you know, like plodding in mud. And that's the fun part. When you can win with defense, when you're not bringing your A game offensively, or they've game planned well against you too. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a joy. I mean, we've seen that as Vikings fans. How many times has the defense won it for us, and then it let us down? But when it counted, that's the only time the defense lets you down as a Vikings fan, when it counts.
Cyclone Fanatic Radio here on 1460 KXNO. We are brought to you tonight by your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet. If you're listening on the Cyclone Fanatic podcast page on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, hello and thank you. Give us a good rating. We would appreciate it. Best and worst case scenarios for the 2018-19 season. It is the NCAA tournament. Let's start with basketball, Rob Gray. Men's basketball is where we start the best and worst case scenario conversation for Iowa State next season. You want to go with the good or the bad first? Best or worst case scenario?
I'd like to close with the best case.
Okay, so do you want to give your worst case, or you want me to give my worst case first?
I'll give my worst
case.
You're
the guest here.
I'm going to try
worst case
to enunciate as well as you have been setting this up. It's like I could do a little Shatner.
Do whatever you want to do, man.
Steve Prohm and the Cyclones. Sometimes they're great. Sometimes.
William Shatner here on Cyclone Fanatic Radio.
The offense.
It's Rob.
Efficient.
Gray.
Fast. Hitting threes. Offensive boards. And then, the lapse. The lapse occurs.
Worst case scenario.
I think I worked someone else in there with my terrible Shatner. It was some weird amalgam of stuff.
I like it. It did well.
But,
it played well with the audience, I promise.
Who's Shatner? Hoopy and Abraham,
yeah,
that
exactly.
Guy?
He's the guy. I always tell Ross, you know how I know Shatner? Yeah. Rescue 911.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know him from any of your damn Star Trek movies.
Yeah, well, I know you're a big – you're down on Star Anything, right?
I'm not down on it. I just don't watch it. Like,
I think
there's
it's
a
for
difference.
Nerds and dorks.
And virgins.
The trifecta. But anyway, worst case, we see some of the same problems we saw this year. You know, the defensive lapse. I mean, I think teams' identities are encapsulated within each season, but how long has defense been a struggle for Iowa State? It was a struggle every year under Hoiberg. Just the offense was so good. The offense was so good last year. I think the defense was, I'm not 2 years ago, the offense under Prohm was very good, and the defense was better, I think, than it had been. This year, so many things fell off the rails. But you had an unprecedented amount of injuries, I think, to key guys, at least in this program.
Very much so.
So the worst case, I think, is defense continues to be an issue. You've got some new guys that, as talented as they are, like a Horton Tucker or, you know, Griffin, all these guys that are going to be coming in, and even sit-out transfers, the guys we think are known quantities, as good as Shayok can be and a Jacobson, that again, they have a hard time meshing together, and that shows up most on the defensive end, and it shows up most in terms of how they run an offense. I mean, we're in a situation where Lindell Wingerton looked great as a point guard at times and really struggled at times too. And I think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I think on balance, you have to be thrilled with the type of season Lindell Wigginton gave you as a true freshman.
Oh, I am. He lived up to expectations and more for me.
Oh, no question. His shooting was better than I...
Oh, nobody thought he would be at 40% three. Come on.
And I remember writing a piece early in the season, and it wasn't so much a knock on him, but one of the things finishing at the rim needed to be better. And one of the problems is, as a freshman, you're not getting the calls that some of the other guys do when you get to the rim. So that makes it even harder to finish with authority. And he became a great finisher as the season went on. And I think he gained some of that respect from the refs. I mean, we're off on worst case. Back to worst case, though.
Worst case scenario for next year's Iowa State basketball team.
I think worst case scenario is that somehow they struggle enough that they're in a situation where they're riding the bubble for the last month of the season, and they end up in the NIT because they're just not
consistent
enough.
That would be a disaster.
Yes.
If they would be in the NIT next year.
I think that's the worst case scenario. I think it's a postseason team, no question, based on the talent that returns, but assuming everyone does, and the new guys that are coming, both as the transfers and as the freshmen.
I would like to comment just on like leadership and that aspect of the team, because I feel like this is where worst case comes in. Nobody really grabbed that this year. Lindell started to at the end of the year. I think your worst case scenario begins in the offseason for Iowa State, and I think that if the worst case scenario is going to happen, we're going to be able to see it from a mile away. Mm-hmm. Maybe you have some detractions that you're not expecting. Now, I don't want people to misconstrue this. I'm not expecting that, but this is college basketball. Maybe there's egos involved behind the scenes that we don't know about, et cetera. I think that you're going to be able to see very clearly in July and in August, if you're around this program, if you're hanging out at the Capital City League, we're going to be able to see the worst-case scenario coming. Because I believe what you said, Rob, if you believe in the talent, which I do, mm-hmm. I believe in the talent next year. One thing I don't believe in right now, I don't buy any of these guys as leaders because I haven't seen them do it. I like how Lindell stepped up at the end of the year, started doing some talking. I think he has it in him. I really do. I don't think Nick Weiler-Babb does because he's been here for so long and he really hasn't become that guy yet.
Can I interject? Because I remember on Media Day, one of the big talking points was how Prohm had sent Donovan Jackson and Nick Weiler-Babb to a leadership.
Yeah.
And I wrote about it.
I enjoyed the piece,
and they said all the right things. I think they struggled in that role. I don't think it was natural for them that requires being vocal to an extent and also patient. You know, you have to balance a lot of different qualities to be a good leader. And I think those guys tried really hard.
Yeah.
But I don't think personality-wise, they were really well-suited to it.
Yeah, I'm not even like – yeah, I don't want that to come off as a criticism. I think just in life you kind of are or you aren't that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Cam Lard can be that guy, but it's got to develop. My point is I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
So I think the worst-case scenario for this program is that none of those guys kind of ascend into that role, and then you can start to see the cookies crumbling a little bit, and that's what you don't want. That's why Nazmi Trelong was always so important to this program. Yeah, he hit some threes, and he got better at defense along the way, but he was the heart and soul of Iowa State basketball, and when one guy started to fracture off and to do his own thing, Naz would be there to pull him back in.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got all these new guys coming in, you got Zion Griffin, Taylen Horton Tucker. You've got all these superstars. Halliburton was just player of the year in the state of Wisconsin. Superstars who aren't used to being role guys. That can be difficult. Talk to Terrence Lewis about how this year went for him.
Yep. Yep.
And that's where the worst case scenario comes in to me. The whole thing implodes and you miss the tournament. And that is a realistic possibility. Albeit the worst case scenario.
Yeah, I think as we transition maybe toward best case, if we're ready for that.
Yeah, I'm ready for that. I'm tired of the negativity, man.
I don't think Steve Prohm and his staff let that happen. I think they find a way. I think sometimes you miscalculate slightly. What do you figure? You know, your senior, a guy that cares a ton, and what Donovan Jackson went through this season is unspeakable, and he is a great Cyclone and always will be a great Cyclone.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But you know, you try to identify guys that you think can be the one who, when things start to move apart, you pulls on all those strings and makes it all cohere again. And I think they lack that to some extent. I think Prohm will think long and hard. He puts a lot. You know him really well. He puts so much thought into this.
He obsesses over it.
Yeah, is he ever not thinking about ways to make the basketball team
constantly
better?
Constantly thinking about it. It's so much so he needs to just step back every once in a while.
Yeah, go out and do some gardening or something.
Go ride your bike.
So I don't think he lets that happen. I think Lindell did show signs of emerging that way. I think from talking to Mariel Shayak, he sounds like a guy who could be kind of naturally fit that mold.
I think he'll naturally come in and whoop some butt if he needs to.
I think so, too. And I think some of these incoming freshmen, from everything they do via Twitter, from everything they do on the court, from what they've said in interviews, they sound like guys like that. And I think Prohm makes an effort to recruit high-caliber, high-character guys, and I think he's done that. And I think you'll have, you know, maybe Coach Prohm, sit down with Matt Cain. I know they talk sometimes, right? About the leadership by committee, like everyone's a leader approach, and everyone's input is
ownership,
valued.
More of a leadership type conversation.
Yeah, that you've got to have some people who are designated, and Naz was so great at that. But guys, also, how great was George in that role sometimes?
Absolutely. He's right there.
How great was even a guy that, you know, would get disinterested and seemingly quit or threaten to quit the team 20 times, Jameel McKay, that game, you know, that important stretch where he made that fist and talked about how that's what they had to be all together like that. He was that guy at least some of the time. So you need a primary guy, but you also need a bunch of guys who can serve that role as auxiliary guys or just as lieutenants in a way. And I think this team is made up that way. Now, who emerges as the main guy? I think Lindell and Shayak are the favorites, but I think it remains to be seen. I mean, I just think best case scenario is this team is not only a Sweet 16 team, which we've had a couple of in the last, 5 years now? Including the season, that they can knock on the door to go further, just as those teams could have, particularly the George Foote year.
I'm with you. I think best case scenario, I'm not going to go over all the leadership things because I think we agree mainly there. Best case scenario is this team competes for a Big 12 championship. I do think it's possible. Now, I'm not saying it's likely. I'm saying I think it's possible. I think this is a top half of the league team.
Yeah.
I need to see how a few things shake out in the offseason with other teams and, you know, the whole FBI thing. I mean, there's a lot of, like, moving parts right now. So this is incredibly premature to even have this conversation, but that's part of the fun of it. Mm-hmm. I think talent-wise, let's just talk pure basketball. What would have to happen for them to compete for the Big 12? Well, you got to find a shooter or two. Shayak's got to come in and be close to 40% three-point shooter. Wigginton's got to hit 40% again. I don't know if he's up for that. I mean, he certainly looks the part, as he did it as a freshman. Terrence Lewis, I think, has to be a guy who can kind of develop into that sniper sense that mm-hmm. Naz was as a sophomore, right?
Yep.
And if you do that, Nick Weiler-Babb's got to be better than 23% or whatever he is from three. I guess that's where my concern is. I go back to the defense, and it's like, how good realistically can they be? They'll be a lot better. Just putting Jacobson and Shayak in there is a huge difference, right? But then, like, you've got to be able to put some points together a little bit more consistently than they did at times, even though they were playing really well this year. If all those things come together basketball-wise, I do believe you have an elite point guard. You have an elite big man in Cam Lard. I think that you're going to have an elite, you know, slasher in Shayak, that type of guy. And the other pieces around them with THT and Jacobson and everybody else, Weiler-Babb, I think this is a team capable of competing for a Big 12 championship next year if all of that comes together.
Yeah, totally agree. And again, as you say, with so many other key aspects, you know, what programs add incredibly talented grad transfer or something,
exactly.
Or some of the other things we know.
Let's say Mike Dom goes to Kansas. That changes.
No doubt. Because there aren't many guys on this roster. I'd say Cam Lard at this point. And obviously unproven guys in high school, but they could shoot it in high school. Of all the guys on this team, they can shoot it. Jacobson can shoot it. I do see that as a concern because you want that guy. I mean, wrote about Tyrus McGee recently, and what a great thing. It was so fun catching up with him via FaceTime in Italy. He was the same guy. So much fun to interview. You can tell he's just enjoying life.
Yeah.
And the added perspective he's got. I could go on and on.
He's the best. We'll do, after your extra comes out, let's sit down and do a podcast about that.
Sounds great.
That'd be fun.
Sounds great. And a guy like that, and as you said, young Naz. Now, can you hit 46.4 or whatever it was McGee did when he was sixth man of the year? And he was hitting some high degree of difficulty threes, too. It wasn't like wide open spot up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But like you said, minimum 40. Have those shooters, and you can space the floor the way you want. Transition goes a lot better because you've got guys to kick out to that you're confident are going to knock down shots. I think that's going to come. I think what's got to come is a team buying and forging a defensive identity because Prohm's harped on it for a long time. I mean, how many times did we ask about the shooting this year when they were struggling? It's like, but I got to come back to defense, man.
Yeah, man, I got to get that D going, yeah.
Because that, at times, was pretty good. And then at times was almost non-existent.
I know you weren't there, but one of the first things he said following that season-ending loss in Kansas City last week is, quote, we have to develop a defensive culture in this program.
Mm. Okay.
That scares the living britches out of me, man.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just – that's a lot harder to recruit to if you're trying to recruit defense. You got a lot of these guys. But, I think – you know, Prohm knows what he wants. When you're a coach, you got to be playing a specific style that you're interested in. I think we're all just a little bit spooked after the 7-year run of offense, to start going another direction is a little bit concerning.
Now, did he necessarily mean that defense has to be the team's identity?
No,
or did he just mean you want to have guys that they're able to be on the same page in that way and play good team defense?
Yeah, I believe that Prohm has a different mindset. Fred had the Cliff Kingsbury mindset where we're just going to outscore everybody.
Yeah.
Like, I think Steve's just a little bit – he won't go that far. Like, just to say we're just going to punt on defense and try and be really good on offense. Steve wants to compete on that end.
Yeah. Well, he's talked about how vital it is, and I think it is, defeating transition. If you have the right guys, you know, hitting the defensive glass and you played good defense,
no
you
doubt.
Forced a badge miss, get it out, and you're going to score, you know, in the 20s, high 20s, a fast break.
And I agree with him, though, Rob. If you look at the roster, you're going to have to play some defense because you just don't have shooters all over the place.
Yeah. You have guys that maybe are capable, like I said, but not guys, like you say, when you have a Matt Thomas, you have a bunch of guys that are consistently going to give you a good percentage there, no doubt.
All right, Cyclone Fanatic Radio, we are presented by Carl Chevrolet here on 1460 KXNO. Chris Williams and Rob Graham. When we come back, we're going to look at Iowa State football next year. What is the best-case scenario for the Cyclones? What is the worst-case scenario for Iowa State football after this year's big, the Liberty Bowl win? There's a lot of pride in the program right now. Matt Campbell's got the new shiny contract, all these new assistant contracts. Everybody's fired up. They've got new uniforms coming next year. So much excitement. We're going to, put a stake right through the heart of all this Kool-Aid here, and then we'll give you some more Kool-Aid when we come back here on 1460 KXNO.
Your shot at $1,000 now. Text the keyword LOCK to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's LOCK to 200-200.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here wanting to tell you about my friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive. Now, as you all have come to expect over the years, Nebraska Furniture Mart is known for their great prices, awesome leadership, impressive selection when it comes to appliances, electronics, flooring, window treatments, of course, countertops as well. Well, now they've taken it a step further, offering the whole home solution, and they've got a full line of custom cabinetry. Come out to their store in Clyde. Meet the design sales staff to get you that new updated kitchen that you've been looking for. The staff will help you through the entire project from flooring to the cabinets. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, your kitchen and bath remodel headquarters.
Ever since the first footballs were made of pigskin, there's been a connection between football and pork. Today, that connection thrives in parking lots, where you'll find everything from spicy spare ribs to bacon-wrapped pork tenderloin being served at tailgating parties. Once again, without pork, football just wouldn't be football. This message is brought to you by the Iowa pork producers through the Pork Checkoff, who make tailgating more delicious. Learn more at iowapork.org.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams with Cyclone Fanatic, and I am excited to be here today promoting one of my all-time favorite brands, Iowa's iconic whiskey, Templeton Rye. True story, on Friday nights when I'm relaxing, trying to get primed for a busy Saturday of covering the Cyclones, the good stuff is my go-to drink, and it has been for well over a decade. With its smooth taste, Templeton Rye's 4 and 6 year whiskeys are my absolute favorite. And it's a really exciting time for the town of Templeton, where Templeton Rye is building their brand new distillery. It's going to be awesome once they get it finished, and I cannot wait to visit Templeton to see it in person. Cyclones, there's no better drink on game day than Templeton Rye. It's Cyclone Fanatic approved.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland orthopedic surgeons and sports medicine professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Fanatics, we need to give a big shout-out to one of our longest-running sponsors at Cyclone Fanatic. That's our friends at Heartland Flagpoles and Flags. Now, I know a lot of you out there, you've already grabbed Iowa State flags and a bunch of merch from them, but did you know that they have a ton of other stuff, too, like NFL flags, MLB, NBA. They've got NASCAR flags, metal signs, and, of course, flagpoles for tailgating your house or business. You can spend hours on their site. Check out Heartland Flags in person as well. Located at 3719 Southwest 9th in Des Moines. Free shipping when you shop online at heartlandflags.com and tell them thanks for supporting Cyclone Fanatic.
Wild Rose Casino and Resort Jefferson presents an electric evening with a former Eagles League guitarist, Don Felder.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
Saturday, November 3rd at Wild Rose Casino and Resort. Don Felder, formerly of the Eagles. Tickets are on sale now. Reserve yours at the Iowa store inside the casino or online at jefferson.wildroseresorts.com. Don Felder, live in concert, Saturday, November 3rd at Wild Rose Casino and Resort Jefferson.
Welcome back to Cyclone Fanatic Radio here on 1460 KXNO. If you're listening via the Cyclone Fanatic podcast options that you have, maybe you're logged on to CycloneFanatic.com or iTunes app, or not an app, but you're on iTunes and you get it that way. There's all sorts of ways to listen to podcasts. We thank you very much. We thank our presenting sponsor, your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet. Rob Gray joins me, and we're doing the best and worst case scenarios for Iowa State athletics in 2018/19. Yeah, big look ahead here. We did basketball in the first segment. Let's go to football. Iowa State wins 7 games last year. Rob, kind of comes out of nowhere to do that. They won 8 games actually, if you count the bowl game.
Yep.
I had them at 6-6 going into the season. Thought they could be a bowl team. They were. They outperformed. I think the win at Oklahoma really grabbed everybody's attention.
Grabbed their attention, too.
I'll go with the worst-case scenario to start things off for our Iowa State football conversation. It's that Kyle Kemp is not what it's that he's a mirage, a bit of a mirage, I would say. That's not too harsh, is it?
No, that level of performance that he showed is not indicative of his overall.
Correct.
You know,
it's the fact that he had never played until his fifth year, comes back, and that's why he doesn't have a great arm. He has in the past overcome it with quiet leadership that seems to work. It seems to be rather contagious from what I've understood around that program. So that level of consistency will be there next year, I'm confident in. But I do worry about defensive coordinators going, this is all we have to do to this guy. And I worry about Iowa State's offensive line still.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they all say it's going to be better. that they've got all the, you know, the Boltons and the, you know, there's a ton of warm bodies that they have not had the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a plus, but they're not proven. And if anybody says they're proven, they're lying to you because we haven't seen them out there in a Big 12 football game yet. So I have concerns that despite how good the running game's going to be, and I believe it will be with David Montgomery is going to make guys miss no matter what, right?
Yep.
But I do worry about the Kyle Kemp situation, assuming he's a starting quarterback. And we don't even know that that's going to be the case at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, you worry that, you know, Iowa State, I believe John Haycock, and I believe that you're going to see this over the next couple of years. I think that him and his three-man front that we've seen with Ray Lima and whatnot, I think there's going to be some serious copycatting going around the Big 12. And if people figure that out, and it's certainly possible. I think Haycock's a good enough guy where he can adjust on the fly. But what if last year's defense was a bit of a mirage as well? That would all be, and you have some injuries up front, and the guys who have to replace the Kamari Cotton Moyes of the world just simply aren't very good. That's your worst case scenario, and you could easily miss a bowl game.
Yeah.
Boom.
I think my worst case is the
4-8.
We're not. I'm actually a bit more optimistic. I really think they're probably. I don't see them going worse than 6-6 with the talent that they have, even with some of those things.
Wow,
happening.
You think worst case scenario is 6-6?
I think it is next year.
That's good to hear.
I mean, but you know me, I'm sunny side up. I'm not being a cynic.
No, let me just paint this though. They won a lot of really close games that they could have lost.
Yep.
They also lost.
They lost a lot of close games that they could have.
Correct. Yeah, I think it goes both ways in this conversation.
I think they are built to at least make that a wash every year in terms of those close games. And they're also built to play in close games. I agree with you on the quarterback situation. Also, what do you do without an Alan Lazard? You don't have that bell cow as a receiver. We know how talented Hakeem Butler is. We know what Eaton can give you. We know what DeShonte Jones can give you. Other guys have shown you in the past. But you're missing that. And that's leadership. That's incredible downfield blocking and edge blocking that Alan Lazard provided. The other guys did I think well in that regard as well. But that's a big miss. When you're a quarterback that doesn't possess that rocket arm, that's a security blanket issue. Now, how much better is Chase Allen? Because he can be a mm-hmm. guy like that too at the tight end spot.
The Soner kid's supposed to be just as good as Allen, from what I've been understanding. That came
Dylan
out of
Saner.
Saner. Matt Campbell told me that himself.
Yeah, well, that's huge too, because think about him in run packages as well. Chase Allen, though, I think acquitted himself very well as a blocker, as a true freshman as well, but Sanders is so big. But you're right. I mean, maybe you turn the ball over more. I mean, we did see a couple of...
I think that I really do. This isn't even worst case. Realistically, I think Kyle Kemp throws more interceptions next year. That arm strength will catch up to him eventually.
Yeah, and guys will start jumping routes. I mean, you're going to have to be really creative, and that's where the all-hands-on-deck approach, I think, is really good. I think you've got to keep teams off balance all the time. I mean, I don't think you really want – your offensive identity is David Montgomery is going to run you over or elude you or drag you for lots of yards almost every game. But outside of that, the passing game, I think, has to be so unpredictable. Short passes, you guys can't cheat too much. You got enough speed out there. There's no question about that. But, that's a concern. So I'd say, yeah, for me, worst case is they turn the ball over a heck of a lot more than they did. You know, I remember Montgomery had a couple fumbles, and he said he said very frankly once he had a problem with that in high school, and he worked to fix it. Hopefully that doesn't ever crop up again. But we've seen it with great backs in the NFL that get in a little bit of a rut that way.
I hate
talking about the team like this, by the way.
How much did Montgomery get robbed in that Liberty Bowl with that fumble?
Jeez.
They hadn't fumbled all year. Last carry of the year.
And it was such a
terrible call.
It looked like...
such a terrible call.
Oh, there were a couple, weren't there? And they did benefit from some, too. K-State game is just...
I'm sure they benefited from some, but none of them were a freaking college football record that got taken away
exactly.
from
you. And clearly, I mean, that's just the amount of high-profile, terrible calls that went against them in the last game of the regular season and the bowl game is mind-boggling. Hopefully that reverses itself. But, hey, maybe it doesn't, and that's part of the worst case, too. And I think you're right. On the defensive side, then, you're looking at, you know, you don't have the leadership of a Joel Lanning. But I think you've got other guys that certainly are going to be good leaders or have been even in the past.
You remember, though, that
Vernell
TCU
Trent
game?
Became a leader. You got J.D. Wagner and his kick and his high performance off the edge. I mean,
do you remember the TCU game when Lanning goes out and they just get absolutely eaten alive?
Yeah.
I believe Lima was out at the same time.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell which one was more of a factor, but
he was generally darn assignment sound and his football IQ just to adapt. It's still amazing that he adapted and not only was a serviceable linebacker, but a guy they talk about possibly working his way into the tail end of the draft and certainly going to have a really, really, really good chance, multiple chances to play football on Sundays for quite a while. That's it. That's a testament to his stick-to-itiveness and his steadfastness in caring about, you know, preparing and doing things the right way after being beaten down, going through all those coordinators on the, I'm kind of on a tangent here with Lanning, but that's a guy you'll miss a lot. I think they've got a ton of talent on that side of the ball though. And they've built depth to the point, the quality depth to the point that we have not seen, for a long time, bare minimum, maybe approaching ever, capability. I mean, there were a couple of those great teams, under McCartney that did have great depth, but it was also such great frontline talent at every position on the defensive side.
Cyclone Fanatic Radio here on 1460 KXNO. We're presented by Carl Chevrolet. We're doing the best and worst case scenarios for Iowa State athletics. Next season, Rob Gray is offering his grizzled opinions here today. We appreciate that. The best case scenario for Iowa State football, Rob, I'll go here. The defensive line is the best in school history. It's got two to three professional players on it, which I believe that it does for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kamilo Tongamoa really comes around in the offseason and has a great offseason after getting in trouble with the law in the winter. You know, it changes his life around and he's fired up. That these young linebackers who really came out of nowhere last year continue that development. The corners are potentially the best cornerback tandem in school history, definitely since LaMarcus Hicks and Ellis Hobbs were in the mix not that long. It was over 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
On the offensive side of the football, I think the best case scenario is that Zeb Noland beats out Kyle Kemp. That Zeb Noland dares Matt Campbell to play him. He looks so good in the spring and fall camp that he has to put him on the football field. I think that's the best case scenario. That he's grown as a leader since his freshman year. That he can match Kemp in that aspect of the game, which he cannot right now. He cannot right now. That's the reason Kemp's the guy. That this offensive line blossoms into the group that they believe that it can. Everything that they've done offensively the first 2 years has been without an offensive line. Mm-hmm. It's been patchwork offensive lines that they have just kind of grinded together. If that all happens, they had the skill players. They've got the skill players at running back. They've got it at wide receiver. They've got really good tight ends. The questions here on the offensive line and at quarterback, those are the most important positions on an offense. And if that all comes together, I'm telling you, this team could play for a spot in the Big 12 championship game. Reason I say that is we're talking ultimate best case scenario here. A lot of young quarterbacks in the league, Rob. This is not a league with Mason Rudolph and Baker Mayfield coming next year.
Yep.
A lot of young quarterbacks in the league. Iowa State has an opening next year, and they're going to be up at a very good time when the rest of the league is down. Opportunity is knocking for the Iowa State football program. Will you let it slide past? I've seen them do it before. 2005 comes to mind. I've seen multiple times where the one Rhodes year where they lost the multiple. It was the Liberty Bowl year, the Steel Giants year.
Yeah, injuries played a part.
They very realistically could have been 8-4 under Paul Rhodes that year with Klein and Knott.
Yep,
let it slide. You know, they let opportunities go past. This is a possibility for this team to be in the 9-3, 10-2 range under the best case scenario.
I think that's all contingent again on staying reasonably healthy.
Yes, absolutely.
Iowa State, on the offensive line and the defensive line in particular.
Yep.
You think of Montgomery, but then you think about Kenny Nwangwu being healthy.
Yeah.
And you think of Johnny
Rial
Lang
Mitchell.
And Rial Mitchell, what can he provide? Receivers that didn't see the field this year or redshirted that we know are big-time talents. Totally agreed on that. I'm not so sure I completely agree. What I want is what they're promising, which is a spirited and intense competition between Kyle Kemp and Zeb Noland. I think they can win to the extent I'm with you for best case. If Kyle Kemp beats out Zeb Noland, I think we've seen Kyle Kemp
is who we saw
last year.
I agree with you. I guess my point is that if Zeb could do that, like, they've both raised their level considerably.
Oh, no doubt. So
I think we're making the same point.
Yeah, yeah.
But my point is Zeb gives you more as far as the arm strength goes, and I think that your playbook's more open with Zeb. He's more athletic. If he can get himself to that level, Kyle's going to be at a higher level, and it's the competition breed success type deal. Is the argument I make?
No doubt, no doubt. And the only thing is the risk reward element, and you wonder. It's hard to take that gunslinger mentality out of a guy, regardless. And how many times? I mean, I did a whole story about it last year. A lot of times people want to avoid that game manager moniker. And Campbell embraced it. In fact, he said that's the greatest quarterback, a guy who's a game manager.
Doesn't he loves
have to
those
go
guys.
Out and doesn't have to. Now, can he? You want him to be capable of going out and putting out the big numbers, which Kemp did at times. But you're right. In terms of raw athleticism, there's no question Noland brings you, a lot more.
He's that buzzword upside, you know?
Yeah, and he can move. He's got that swagger, that quotability as well. But I think it will, as good as this offense can be, I think it was as good as it's been in many, many, many years last season. But it still, I don't think, reached its potential.
Dude, there was a 3-4 game stretch in the middle of the year where it was pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, the Baylor game comes to mind.
And the TCU game they somehow won.
Yeah.
The offense wasn't any good.
We were sitting there covering that game, right? It's like, you can't hold them this long. But they did.
They just kept doing it.
That's why the best case is going to hinge not only on the health of the offensive and defensive lines, but it's on the defense being as good or better than it was last season.
Honestly, too, I mean, you've been around this league long enough to know that a lot of Iowa State's best case scenario comes on what everybody else is doing too.
Yeah.
And I think that the reason I'm saying that best case scenario is 10-2 is because I'm looking around and I'm like, well, I mean, come on. Like, the league's going to be down. Like, the Oklahoma's still going to be Oklahoma.
Yep.
Texas State is going to improve, so they're going to get better. I think Oklahoma State is due for their, middle of the road where they were. Like, I don't think that they're going to be a national title contender a lot of people thought they could be going into this season. Mm-hmm. I think TCU will be good. They bring a lot of guys back. But you look at it, though, and you go, who can't Iowa State beat?
Yeah, and how good were those teams last year? That was so crucial. I mean, how many times did guys say, when did you really know? When you ask them, when did you really know that this team could be special? We went to Oklahoma and won.
Mm-hmm.
Not only, I'm sure, did everybody else in the world that cares about college football think that was impossible, but I'm pretty sure a good number of the guys on the team thought that too.
Absolutely.
And to go and do that and to feed off one another, to get down early and come back and put a hurt on them. I mean, you've got Oklahoma scrambling to try to – how about that last play? How beautiful was that? Mayfield trying to keep it alive. No.
So,
I it came in – and beat you convincingly. I mean, when we watched that game, they beat them convincingly in Norman. And that was a culture changer, as is the buzz. And I think that persists for quite a while. And that's why the best case excites me the same way it does for you, I think.
Another thing I love about the Oklahoma win is it didn't seem fluky in the sense that, the TCU game, it was a defensive masterpiece, which is great to win games like that. The Oklahoma game, you won a Big 12 game in a Big 12 way. Like, you got key stops when necessary. Obviously, they shut Oklahoma down in that second half.
Yep.
But you were also moving the football, right? That's why I've said this a lot. I thought the TCU game, the Texas Tech game was one of the best games that, as far as culture goes, because you had this lead and you could just hand the ball off to your workhorse running back. That's what Matt Campbell wants to do.
Yep.
And it's hard for us to sit here and watch these offenses that are going for 700 yards every time out. Like, I don't think Matt wants to do that. Now, sure, if he can rack it up, I mean, he's going to. But he wants to he's old school in that sense, and that's really what their identity needs to be going forward, because I don't believe Matt believes that they'll ever have a team capable of putting up yards like Baylor and Texas Tech did back in the day.
Well, like you said, I don't think he wants to. I think teams like that are always fatally flawed.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Do teams like that ever win a national championship?
No, I don't believe we've ever seen it.
Do teams?
I mean, Oregon's been close.
That can use their third string running back because two guys have gotten hurt, and grind out a game in a national championship game. Yes.
Yeah. So see it all the time.
They'll talk all the time about how they plan to contend for a national championship at Iowa State. And
it's insane.
How refreshing
is it
to just hear? And all it takes is a shift beyond the stuff that seeps into every Cyclone fan's mind, understandably, the gut punches, needing the cups, all that stuff. They're like, we're not part of that. We're not going to listen to that crap. We're not getting 6-6 is a joke. Don't ever talk to me about 6-6.
What did Campbell say after the TC? 6-6 is for losers.
Something to that effect.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right. My best case scenario is 10-2 somehow, some way. You?
Yeah, my best case is that as well. And if you're there, then your best case is what he talks about, competing for national championships, because then a game goes the other way. It goes the right way. Outside of that, I mean, I don't see any they can't – after last season, there's no team on their schedule that they can look at and say, oh, well, we shouldn't win that one.
My worst case is 4-8 to the 10-2 swing, and you're going 6-6 to 10-2. That's interesting.
Yeah,
yeah, I just
I wouldn't even put – I'm going to put a ceiling on it. I think if they compete in the Big 12 championship game, you're talking about I could see one regular season loss as best case.
Oh, come on.
As best case.
Man, I hope you're right.
But that's, again, best case,
that's the whole point. Yeah.
I know. That's why 6-6 is worst case. I really, truly believe that, though.
That's
I don't think
great.
There's any way this team misses a bowl game.
That's great. I love it. Rob Gray, he joins me here on Cyclone Fanatic Radio. When we come back, we're going to have about 5 minutes to go, and we are going to talk wrestling, Kevin Dresser's program, and women's basketball, best and worst case scenarios here. We're brought to you by our friends at Carl Chevrolet, your dealer for life. Back with more after this here on 1460 KXNO.
Attention all business owners. This year marks 40 years of being your dealer for life right here in Ankeny, Iowa at Carl Chevrolet. Put your trust in the number one fleet and commercial sales dealer in Iowa for all your business needs. Right now, take advantage of up to $8,000 off 2017 Chevy Express vans the rest of February. And coming soon, we will have the all-new Silverado Medium Duty 4500 to 6500 series. Since we have been selling and servicing medium duty trucks for over 35 years, you can put your trust in Carl Chevrolet. It's time to find new roads and experience why more businesses depend on Carl Chevrolet than any other Chevy dealer in the state. See our full fleet inventory online at carlchevrolet.com. Carl Chevrolet, I-35, exit 90 in Ankeny at The Rock.
Your dealer for life, Carl Chevrolet.
Cyclone Fanatic has a new home for our radio shows this season, and that's Whiskey River in Ankeny and Ames. Listen every Thursday night from 6 to 7 on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO. And if you can't make it live, we will have podcasts of our shows across Cyclone Fanatic's various platforms as well. Of course, you can always stop by, meet our staff, have some beers, and watch football at the new Whiskey River in Ankeny's beautiful Prairie Trail area or on Main Street in Ames. Keep an eye on Cyclone Fanatic social media feeds for game watch information throughout the season.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland Orthopedic Surgeons and Sports Medicine Professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
In the market for a new home? Consider getting your mortgage through Gershman Mortgage, a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com. Gershman's knowledge, experience, and low rates will not only make a positive impact on your home buying experience, but will also save you money as it has for families over the course of three decades. Already own? Perhaps refinancing is a solid option for you. Give Gershman Mortgage a shot. Call 515-964-5952 or stop by their Ankeny location at 1200 Southwest State Street, Suite 2C today and tell them Cyclone Fanatic sent you.
There needs to be more football games this season. And here's the reason why. There are simply too many pork recipes that I want to try at tailgating parties. Bacon-wrapped pork tenderloin, double-rump baby back ribs, pulled pork sliders, to mention just a few. You'll find more than 2,000 crowd-pleasing recipes at porkbeinspired.com. This message brought to you by the Iowa Pork Producers through the Pork Checkoff, who make tailgating delicious. Learn more at iowapork.org.
Welcome back. Final segment here tonight of the final Cyclone Fanatic radio show of the season. I want to thank our partners at 1460 KXNO for allowing us to be on the air. Of course, our friends at Carl Chevrolet, Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive, Whiskey River in Ankeny, been a great host to us all season long. Thanks to our listeners here on KXNO and the Cyclone Fanatic podcast listeners as well. We're doing best and worst case scenarios for next season for the Iowa State Athletics seasons. 2018 and 19 will be your athletic year. Real quick, Rob, women's basketball, I think that they're back dancing next year. We don't necessarily have to I think the best case scenario is you're back dancing. They really like this gal who's been sitting out, who is the point guard grad, the transfer from Tennessee. They think she's going to be real good. The Jones girl, recruiting wise, Finley's
been Iowa basketball.
Yeah, she's been awesome. So I think they could be a second weekend NCAA tournament team, best case scenario for Iowa State women's basketball.
Yeah, I would
agree.
With
Bridget Carlton's going to be one of the best players in the conference.
Yeah, I think they need to be a team that contends for a top three finish in the Big 12. That's a big jump after this year, but it's been a while. I mean, they've been in early out in the NCAA tournament when they make it recently, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Sometimes injuries have played a key part, but I think with the most talented group, I think, of newcomers, including the transfer and a Bridget Carlton as your foundation, you've got a real opportunity to get Iowa State. I mean, it's always going to be on the map. Bill Fenley put it on the map, and it's been staying on the map no matter what. But really put a stamp on that, hey, we're back in the situation where we could be a Sweet 16 team, possibly, best case scenario. Worst case, the injury bug strikes again. You know, somebody leaves or something, or and the Big 12 is just as loaded as it always is, because it probably will be, and you struggle and maybe lose a lot of close games. But I think this team this season competed really hard. Won some games that I think opened some people's eyes, given some of the limitations. And I think next season's team will compete even harder and have more pieces to build a more winning base.
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you. Let's touch on wrestling very quickly. Of course, the NCAA championships going on this weekend in Cleveland. Iowa State has one competitor. Let's just go this way. Best case, how many do you have next year?
I think best case.
5 or 6?
I'd say 5 or 6.
Yeah, I mean, that's realistically. I don't think you can get more than that.
And at least a couple guys that you feel pretty good about being able to All-American. I think they've got the talent for that. They've recruited well. And I'm pretty sure that they've established the type of culture that they want. It hasn't shown itself consistently this season. But certainly in dual meets, they've really fought hard. They've won some, I think, that opened some people's eyes. They lost a lot early that I think were kind of stunning and I think very humbling. I mean, it's been a humbling last few years for the Iowa State wrestling program, and I think its best case is it's a pretty darn big uptick. And it's clear that they're ready to make that next step, which is reestablishing themselves as a perennial top 10 and more often than not top 5 national power.
They should be. They should be. That's where Iowa State wrestling belongs.
And we know Dresser and his staff, that's exactly where he thinks they belong. And that's top 5 probably all the time. I think
competing for national titles.
Yeah.
That's where Iowa State belongs.
Yeah. And I mean, you create that buzz around the program that needs to be there. You're right back there attracting that level of recruit. We're seeing that start again under Dresser, and I think it will only ramp up. Best case. Now, worst case
is you have another real rebuilding year.
Yeah.
Like we saw this year.
And you just get a raft of injuries, which happens a lot in that sport. I mean, that hits you at the wrong time. I mean, obviously every team wants to build for March. It doesn't matter what happens in some holiday tournament or what matters is guys are fresh and guys are confident and guys are doing their best wrestling, both from a technical, tactical mindset standpoint in March. And I think that's going to be a big step that they'll take. Best case next season.
Rob Gray, it's been a pleasure making radio with you.
It's been
this evening.
Yeah, I can tell you that, I wouldn't put it any other way. Right back at you.
All right, buddy. Thank you to our friends at Carl Chevrolet. I want to give a shout out to Sean Jankowski. He's produced our program all season long. John Sellers has helped us out with equipment. All of our friends at Whiskey River and Ankeny, they've been great hosts to us all season long. We'll be back on your Thursday nights coming up next fall. It'll be here before you know it. So long, Des Moines.
Cyclone Fanatic has a new home for our radio shows this season, and that's Whiskey River in Ankeny and Ames. Listen every Thursday night from 6 to 7 on Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO. And if you can't make it live, we will have podcasts of our shows across Cyclone Fanatic's various platforms as well. Of course, you can always stop by, meet our staff, have some beers, and watch football at the new Whiskey River in Ankeny's beautiful Prairie Trail area. We're on Main Street in Ames. Keep an eye on Cyclone Fanatic social media feeds for game watch information throughout the season.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams with Cyclone Fanatic, and I am excited to be here today promoting one of my all-time favorite brands, Iowa's iconic whiskey, Templeton Rye. True story, on Friday nights when I'm relaxing, trying to get primed for a busy Saturday of covering the Cyclones, the good stuff is my go-to drink, and it has been for well over a decade. With its smooth taste, Templeton Rye's 4 and 6 year whiskeys are my absolute favorite. And it's a really exciting time for the town of Templeton, where Templeton Rye is building their brand new distillery. It's going to be awesome once they get it finished, and I cannot wait to visit Templeton to see it in person. Cyclones, there's no better drink on game day than Templeton Rye. It's Cyclone Fanatic approved.
We're guessing that in the last year, year and a half, you've probably heard something about Charterhouse Real Estate. We know them as an innovative real estate firm focused on putting clients first.
They started with great offers like short 3-month listing contracts and 2 different commission options. But they just topped their already awesome perks with an exclusive home prep package.
When you list at 6%, you'll now get a deep clean of your kitchen and all bathrooms, an exterior power washing of your home, and all of your windows will be cleaned inside and out, including screens.
And that's on top of free moving boxes and supplies delivered to your door, access to a free moving truck, extra marketing, and so much more.
There's no other firm or realtor offering clients anywhere close to what Charterhouse Real Estate is.
Or if you prefer to do it yourself and go perk-free, Charterhouse has a 5% listing plan too.
As you can see from this latest greatest offer, Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more and contact them at charterhouseiowa.com.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here to tell you a little bit about me away from the microphone, and that's the love that I have for my daughter, which is why every year in August I head to the Iowa Clinic Men's Center to get my annual physical. Now, I'm only 33 and luckily I'm a healthy man, but this is all about preventative medicine. My daughter relies on me, and I want to be there to watch her in t-ball games, dance recitals, and God willing, be there to walk her down the aisle. Small decisions that we make today greatly impact our future, and my friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center are here to help. Visit them at iowaclinic.com to find a doctor near you, which shouldn't be hard, as the Iowa Clinic Men's Center has locations all over the metro.
Wild Rose Casino and Resort Jefferson presents an electric evening with a former Eagles lead guitarist, Don Felder.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
Saturday, November 3rd at Wild Rose Casino and Resort, Don Felder, formerly of the Eagles. Tickets are on sale now. Reserve yours at the Iowa store inside the casino or online at jefferson.wildroseresorts.com. Don Felder, live in concert, Saturday, November 3rd at Wild Rose Casino and Resort Jefferson.